0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we move towards the World Cup preparation friendlies for Scotland. Tommy Conway and Nathan Patterson are amongst those targeting seats on that plane for America in the summer. On the domestic scene, Motherwell's Callum Slattery given a 4-match ban for simulation against St Mirren, and Rangers looking to add £16 million to the club as they look to boost Danny Rule's summer transfer plans. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have David Friel of the Scottish Sun and Gordon Deal.
Yes, a well-deserved break for the teams in the Premiership, and then we'll get back to the excitement of the title race and the bottom six, obviously relegation, and the Championship's a great title as well there, St Johnstone, Partick Thistle. But this weekend, it's all about the international. It's all about guys making sure that they get their backsides on that plane to go to America for the World Cup. You just wonder what's in the mind of Steve Clarke. Will he experiment? Will he just stick to the same basics? Will he just get minutes into players? Is it just a case of getting everyone together, keep that relationship with all the players going? So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And then we're looking forward to next week.
Yeah, and I mean, it's always this point in the international break where you start to think about Scotland and all the players that look at go and make an impact. Gordon, like Tommy Conway, Finlay Curtis, guys like that. But we're never short of news on the domestic front as well. And I think Callum Slattery's suspension today certainly annoyed Motherwell, given their statement, and I'm sure it will spark a fair bit of discussion.
It's a good point David Friel makes. What did you make of that? Because it's one that probably transcends Motherwell and St Mirren, doesn't it? Callum Slattery, a 4-game ban, two of which suspended for that incident which saw Richard King sent off in the game in Paisley a few weeks ago. Interesting, because I think clearly everybody wants to see less diving, less simulation, less players going down. But at the same time, 4 games seems a lot, and how do you enforce that going forward? How do you achieve consistency? Does it set a precedent? I feel like it's a really good topic for us tonight.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter whether it's Motherwell, St Mirren, Celtic, Rangers, Hearts. A 4-game ban for that, in terms of can you prove these things? Can you not? Can you enforce them? I'm fascinated to see what the reaction is to that.
Yeah, and I think that was the tone of Motherwell's statement, where they said we will be watching to see how this is enforced going forward. Look, everybody knows that Callum Slattery went down far too easily. It looks as if there was zero contact. However, I'm surprised at how severe the punishment is. You know, it's a 2-game ban with 2 suspended, 4-game ban effectively. I didn't think he'd be getting that much.
Have they opened a can of worms here, David?
I think they might have.
Yeah. I'm sure this is not going to just be the finished article with Slattery. Yes, we do want to see it driven out the game, Gordon. 4 games and obviously 2 of them suspended. I'll be interested to see going forward. It really will be. And especially, you know, that obviously the talk on here, 99% is about the big two, the Glasgow teams. So I'll be interested. I think they've gave themselves a little problem with this.
As David Friel says, even when you think there's a quiet day in the domestic front, something comes along in Scottish football. So I think first and foremost, Motherwell and St Mirren fans, you own this, you were involved. So what do you make of that punishment to Callum Slattery? 01419511025. And then everyone else jump in as well, because what does this mean going forward? Bearing in mind you dive on the field, you'll get a booking for it. It's quite a hefty retrospective ban. What does this mean? Is it all about no contact? What if you get a little bit of contact? And so on and so forth. So get in touch with all your thoughts there, please, on the usual number. The magic of this title race, it doesn't matter that it's Thursday and we've not seen a domestic ball kicked in the Premiership in days. Everybody's still got something to say about it. So again, you're more than welcome, same as you are every night, for your latest thoughts on the title race. This broke as we came on air last night, so sometimes it takes a bit longer to seep in, and maybe you've been reading about it today and whatever. So Rangers fans, what about that update from Andrew Kavanagh last night, talking about the £16 million Rangers are going to try and raise to take the club on to the next level over this summer? Is that music to your ears? It does come with a 6% rise in season ticket prices. Is that palatable to get the end goal you want? Or would you rather that wasn't the case? You tell us. 0141 951 1025. And we are only 2 days away from the Scotland-Japan game at Hampden as well. So why not crank up the build-up to that one? We've not really spoken at length about it this week. What do you want to see? Who do you want to see? What are you expecting from it? What can be gained from it? I'm thinking no injuries might be the number one priority. But you want to see a wee bit more than that as well, always.
Do you know what I want to see? A bit of freshness. I know that Steve Clark's obviously gearing towards the World Cup. And it's not just a case of friendlies. It's important. It keeps everybody together. You know, everybody talks about how close-knit this Scottish squad is and the players and how they got on with each other and the manager, whatever. I think we've got a great opportunity. Look, we've got young guys in, Finlay Curtis, for instance. Are there any harm if we're going to play with the back four? Are we going to play the usual, you know, John McGinn playing in and out, which I don't think suits John McGinn? When Ben Doak's there and he plays as a winger and he's attacking, the Scottish fans at Hampden love it. Finlay Curtis has been brought in for that. Why not give him an opportunity?
I think he'll make his debut. I do think he'll make his debut. Maybe not from the start, but I definitely think he'll play a part, because it's just such an area where Scotland are so light. You know, that was why Steve Clark tried his very best, I think, to get Harvey Barnes in. It didn't work. Ben Gannon-Doak's obviously out just now. But listening to Stephen Naismith the other day, Finlay Curtis is clearly there because he likes his pace, his power, how direct he is. He always gets shots away. I do think he'll feature.
Do you think he'll start him?
I don't think he'll start him.
Well, do you know the reason I would start him? It's quite simple for me, right? You touched on it with Barnes as a no-go. We need wide players. We really need wide players. If Steve Clark's going to go to the World Cup, he's got to have the option of wide players. He used to play with a 3-5-2, and it was okay then because your two wing-backs gave you the width. Now, if he's going to play with his four and he's going to have guys like Doak in there, he needs wide players, i.e. Barnes would have been a great fit for us. So for me right now is get the boy in and see what he can do and get him a bit of confidence. And if he can be the answer, then brilliant. And he plays his way right into a chance of being the World Cup squad.
But see, before we start mumping and moaning, how good is it to not be involved in these World Cup playoffs? Tonight, is it? Tonight, tomorrow, three games, over. Yeah. How good is it to be able to sit back and enjoy everybody else going through the stress?
Yeah, there's eight games tonight, I think, in Wales against Bosnia, Northern Ireland away to Italy, Republic of Ireland, Czech Republic, or Czechia.
And we're just worried about who plays in a friendly.
Yeah, yeah, we're talking about who'll play.
Lovely.
It's great. But the other one I'm interested in is the goalkeeper who plays in goals.
Must be gone.
Scott Bain's playing.
Listen, that's the argument, but I know there's a difference with Craig Gordon. Craig Gordon hadn't featured in a game, and we were all debating, well, would he bring Craig Gordon in because he's not playing? He certainly did, and Craig Gordon, probably fit, will be our number one goalkeeper. I know Gunn is he third choice or something?
I think so, yeah.
Third choice, but he's been a regular as a number one with Scotland. It's a great debate, but I think he'll go with Gunn.
0141 951 1025. You can start turning the attentions to the Scotland friendlies this weekend, or stick with the domestic stuff, because there's always something happening, and every now and then a story comes up that just, I think, grabs everybody. So Motherwell's Callum Slattery, a 4-game ban, 2 of which suspended for diving, essentially. We'll get into the legal terminology, but for diving, if you like, getting Richard King of St Mirren sent off. You'll remember it was given on field as a red card. VAR couldn't find conclusive evidence to change that decision. Richard King wins his appeal, and now Callum Slattery's been done. So quite a few layers there, and I wonder what you think going forward. Give us your thoughts, please. 0141 951 1025 on that. Scotland games, title race. That's what's amazing about this, Gordon. It's going nowhere. We've, you know, so-called quiet international break every night this week. People still want to get their permutations in. I've had people messaging me today saying they've been writing up their own fixture lists, trying to predict who plays where and when. It is going to be incredible.
Only for that Falkirk and that John McLean, we could be sitting here discussing that tonight as
You'll be listening.
Yeah, I know you'll be listening. That's why I've outed him. It's so exciting, Gordon. It really is. You just wonder just now, What teams is this international break benefiting? What team do you think's came? What team thinks it's came at the right time? You look at Rangers, bit of form there. Has it come at the right time for Celtic to sit back and go and do a bit of work, regroup again, maybe get one or two of the niggly knocks, a bit of fitness back up? Hearts were doing okay as well. You just wonder who came at the right time for that break, because guaranteed one of those teams will benefit from the international break, no doubt.
I think Celtic, well, Alistair Johnson was speaking in Canada, he's away to kind of continue his rehab over there, and he says that Celtic have got the week off, that the players have been given a fair bit of time. I noticed Marcelo Saracchi posting stuff from Barbados, maybe, the Bahamas. Nice. So I think Celtic, I think Martin O'Neill's clearly felt that Celtic need to refresh, reset, and come back probably at the weekend to prepare for Dundee. Bear in mind they don't play until the Sunday. Derek McInnes certainly felt the break was coming at a good time for Hearts, because he was hoping that by the time they played their next game, he maybe had five or six players back. In terms of Rangers, look, I think you always want to get a break off the back of a really good win, and they got that over Aberdeen. They've got a few players again in international duty. It's always the same for club managers, you just want them back fit and healthy and ready. But what a big seven games we've got.
Yeah, and of course a bit of news coming out of Rangers last night as well, talking about £16 million share issue, trying to raise more money, move the club on, boost Danny Rule's transfer plans. It comes with an increase in season ticket prices as well. So if you've any thoughts there, get them into us. David is a Rangers fan first on. Hi David.
Hi guys, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I was listening to what you're saying about the share issue and the price hike. Mm-hmm. I think if you were to say to any Rangers fan who has a season ticket, look, we're going to hit it 6%. We're also going to look at £16 million share issue. If the Rangers fans see the majority of that £16 million going to Danny Rowe to strengthen the team, and the people and the board say, we're going to charge you 6% extra, but you're going to be watching the league champions next year with a much stronger team on the park, making a commitment to the fans to buy better quality players. Rangers fans would accept that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was very specific what Andrew Kavanagh said, David, in terms of the increase, but I think he used the phrase, we won't want the fans, or we don't just want the fans to do the heavy lifting. He then spoke about the share issue. And by the sounds of it, we didn't get full specifics, but it sounds as if it will be, I don't mean underwritten, but there's going to be take-up, there's going to be that investment coming from specific individuals. So yeah, look, I always think with these things, with price increases, with share issues, fans just want to see the best possible team they can get on the pitch. Rangers are obviously going to be helped if they're in the champion, if they win the league and they're in the Champions League playoff, potentially with Champions League money as well to come. But I think what you would say about Andrew Kavanagh so far, he's been pretty bullish in terms of his spending last summer, and then again in January. You just need to think back to the Ryan Nadiri issue, where Rangers had to really push a boat out to get him. Whether he's worth it or not, that's still probably up for debate, but Andrew Kavanagh did push a boat out to get him. He has put his money in, and he clearly set out the guidelines yesterday that yes, he wants the fans to pay a bit more, but there's going to be further investment.
But you've got to put a big responsibility on yourself as a club. You've got probably a lot of deadwood behind the scenes in there earning big, big money, and you've got to try your best to try and remove that.
Did quite a bit of that last year, though.
Yeah, but they've still got a bit more, because they're high payers, let's be honest about it. They have got a big squad. I think it's good news. I totally agree with David. I know that, look, everything's gone up in price, isn't it? And it's always the poor supporters that's been asked to put their hands into their pocket as usual, 6%. But if you're a Rangers fan and you've went through what you've went through in years gone by and you can afford it, 100% they'd be in for this.
Is the key to this, though, David, that fans don't mind it if they feel they have got something to buy into, if they feel like there's something to get excited about, they trust basically what's happening? Because you said, you know, maybe watching the Champions next season. If Rangers were sitting third at the moment, with no chance of winning the title, you probably wouldn't be quite as enthusiastic about it, would you? But I take it you've seen the players come in January, you're happy with that level of recruitment, and you think, what could we do with a bit more of that?
Yeah, exactly. I think if you look at the three players you're talking about, they have proved that they are quality players. They're big, strong lads. They've got ability on their ball. They can defend the attack. They give it 100% on the park. They cost money, yeah, but if that's the way we're going, I think Rangers are going the right way with the new management that it's in, and I think it's onward and upwards. I think if they seem to be buying quality young players that they can mould and maybe sell on a couple of years and make even more profit, and as I say, Rangers seem to be going the right way at the moment.
It feels like that, you know, clubs need to, it's that kind of mutual trust, isn't it? If you're saying to fans, give us more money because we've made an absolute mess of something, then I don't think fans like that. But if fans see little shoots of where it's heading, that's why they can stomach it the way David has.
Yeah, exactly. But also, you need to be honest, the first 6 months didn't go very well, or the first 4 months, and Andrew Kavanagh again came out and said, and I think I don't particularly like the phrase, but he owned it. He says, we will own this, we will fix it.
That's what I mean. Can you imagine in January, right? Or December, November, whatever, he says, we're going to put season ticket prices up next year.
Exactly, it's timing.
The reaction's so different, isn't it?
Yeah, and the timing, look, the timing's also just now. It's easier to do it seven games to go when you're still in a title race than it would be right at the end as well. And obviously, at this time of year, this is what happens. But I think, to be fair to Andrew Kavanagh, he's been pretty upfront. He's been very open. He's communicated well. And I think Rangers clearly have a plan in place, Gordon. And look, you can tell, history tells you that Scottish clubs can make money. Obviously, there's share issues and putting prices up, but predominantly you're going to make money from European income, and Rangers obviously won't be in the Champions League, and also player trading. And I think Rangers will also be pretty aggressive under the 49ers and Andrew Kavanagh in terms of that. I mean, you'll see crazy numbers doing the rounds for guys like Manny Fernandes. I don't for a second think they're going to get 35 million that's been quoted somewhere, but I do think if they get decent offers for guys they've just brought in, I think they'll move them on, because I think that's what they have to do.
You know, because back to what we said about January, Gordon, like, and that, you know, that sort of mutual trust. If you're a Rangers fan and times are tough, as you say, and the price of everything's gone up, and you're asked to go and dig deep again on the back of signing nonsense in the last window, you would go, I don't know, do I trust that my money's going to be spent wisely? But if you're a football club who can say, well, we might be able to give you the next Chiquani, the next Romans, you know, if you do your bit here and we'll do ours,
I think it's
easier to get on board with, isn't it?
I think 6% sounds brilliant just now. You're listening to David, he's enthusiastic about it, excited about it, and I think a lot of Rangers fans would be. But I think David touches on a good point. I think it's an easy sell when you're 3 points off top of the league and you're looking okay, you're going well. If we get to the end of the season here and they're third, is it still going to be the same enthusiasm going forward with the 6%? Because you are asking supporters, with everything going up in the world, everything, to go and dig deeper again for another 6%.
Think you win the league, David? That's a big question.
I'm quietly confident. If we can win the seven games, then there's nobody can stop us. I mean, that's us win the league, because we've beaten Hearts and we've beaten Celtic and we've overtaken them. And I think the way we played against Aberdeen, I think we can do it. I think Rangers can go on a wee run and win the league.
David, the only thing I'll say, see every team that plays at Aberdeen, they go, we can win our next seven games.
I mean, admitted, Aberdeen are rotten, but at the end of the day, Rangers seem to be starting to play a bit of football, getting a wee run of victories and getting to score goals from loads of different places in the park.
I think I've touched on it many times. I think that because this title race is so tight, I think it'll go down to maybe the goal scorers. Like, normally win you the leagues, right? But because it's so tight, and I look at Hearts, Shanklin's now back. He's a goal scorer. Bragg and him, great partnership. David touched on it there, and it's my big worry about Rangers. Yes, I think, was it 18 in their last four home games or something? Five. Right?
Last five.
League games, my apologies. But they're two up top, aren't they, banging them in? Chermiti is brilliant against Hearts and Celtic, scoring goals in the league. But other teams, if they chip in, all of a sudden they've got a big chance. My concern is Celtic just now, they're all over the place with their front three. They're all over the place. They need to find something that's going to start getting them goals to get into this title race.
Thank you, David. You want to keep that conversation going? You want to talk about Rangers' investment? You want to widen it to the other elements of the title race? And what about this Callum Slattery ban? 4 games for that incident against St Mirren. Get your thoughts in and we will speak to you next. Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew.
something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good friends, give me a Dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and David Friel of the Scottish Sun are here. They're both waiting for you to get in touch. So it's 0141 951 1025. It's a bit of a open book for you. You fancy talking title race still? Rangers investment that was announced yesterday, a 4-game ban handed out to Motherwell's Callum Slattery. I think that's one that just everybody can have a say on, because what does this look like going forward? Do you think that's going to be able to achieve any level of consistency? What sort of precedent does that set? All that sort of stuff. I don't think anybody likes diving, and everybody wants to see it stamped out. So there's that side of it as well. Scotland games just 2 days away. They noticed the Japan squad training at Dumbarton last night. Nice week. Yeah. Culture. What's
lovely.
It's nice. Get the rock.
Oh, the rock behind. I don't know if the surface would be that great just now. And listen, if MD from Dumbarton's listening, I'm not having a go, right? Because there's a lot of pitches out there where the weather have been really, really damaged. But I'd expect him to train somewhere else.
I was actually reading a Japanese media outlet today, as I tend to do on a Thursday.
Of course, and, right.
With the help of Google Translate, they had the pictures of the rock and everything in the background, and they were saying the scenery was absolutely spectacular.
There you go.
I am not against the scenery. Listen, I got locked in there for Super Scoreboard, and I loved the scenery until the Dumbarton manager Jim Duffy could kindly come back and let me out. I was just talking about with the surfaces and everything, with the weather that Scotland's had. It's not a dent against Dumbarton. I love Dumbarton. Not the football, I love the golf up there. But it'll be interesting to see how they perform in Saturday. Is it? It's 5 o'clock, isn't it?
5 o'clock. Yeah. Kickoff, yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Anyway, Gary is next through on the line. How are you, Gary?
Hi, Gordon. Another Gordon. And who else is it? Sorry.
David Friel of the Scottish Sun with us tonight.
Sorry,
hi,
David.
Gary.
Hi, hope you're all well. The Callum Slattery thing. It takes a lot for me to phone up when it's no Celtic related. I find that staggering, a 4-game ban. Obviously, it's went to VAR on the day. So it begs a question, what did the VAR lot look at on the day that the appeal panel or whoever it is has looked at it now, what did they see different, and how come the VAR panel on the day couldn't see exactly what they seem to have seen? Mm-hmm. And just kind of get rid of the red card, reduce it, give Callum Slattery a booking on the day. But to go for that to a 4-game ban is just, I think it's a bit excessive, to be honest with you. You only get a 3-game ban, I think, for a reckless challenge. A dangerous challenge in a straight red. Is that right?
Two games. If it was a serious foul play, first red, you'd be 2 games. It's certainly an interesting one. Before we get to like which side you fall down on, because Gary's outlined some of the details. So take yourself back. St Mirren Motherwell. Callum Slattery goes down off the ball. Richard King of St Mirren is shown a red card on field. Now once it goes to VAR, presumably they cannot conclusively prove that there wasn't any contact. Now everybody's got their own feelings on it, don't they? I think even Jens Bertolascu agreed that Callum Slattery went down in a way that he shouldn't. So maybe that's the point. But VAR didn't feel that the footage was clear enough to absolutely prove that Richard King didn't touch him, so the decision stood. Problem is these layers. So it goes to an appeals panel, which is not the VAR, it's not the refs, it's just an independent appeals panel. They decide to exonerate Richard King. His red card goes away. Again, I think everybody celebrates that. Everybody thinks he shouldn't be punished for it. Now, another panel, again, not refs, not VAR, not Nick Walsh or Willie Collum. They then look at the same footage, which Gary references there, and they must feel, I don't know, they must feel that they can prove that there's no contact, and they've decided to give Callum Slattery.
But even if they do that, the 4-game ban's very excessive, isn't it?
So it's 2 games with 2 games suspended. It would kick in 4 if there was a repeat.
Yeah, and I said at the top of the show, especially this time of the season, coming into so many important games coming up, real important games, could decide a title, could decide who's in relegation, playoff for relegation. Unfortunately, I think that Livingston's away anyway. I think they've left their cell really wide open here.
So Motherwell did issue a statement, it was quite strong, saying that a third layer of refereeing has been implemented. They say the poor quality cameras means there's no conclusive evidence that King's arm didn't touch Slattery's face. They say that the, again, they outline some of the stuff that we've just said, but the kind of maybe the more interesting bit is they say that they want to question why this incident meets the criteria for inappropriate behaviour, yet countless others don't. All clubs have witnessed similar incidents in games which have resulted in retrospective bans. Therefore, we'll watch and expect consistency going forward so that Callum isn't treated differently to others. Is that the key sort of
point? Yeah, I think it's a fair point. Yeah, because if you look at the disciplinary system or handbook, whatever you want to call it, the SFA compliance officer has decided to go down that route. Rule 77, improper conduct, inappropriate behaviour, whatever you want to call it, and that's what they've done Callum Slattery for. Whereas there's another rule which would be essentially the same ban if he was done for feigning injury. It's a very messy one.
So why do you think that is? So he's been done for inappropriate conduct as opposed to feigning injury. I mean, yeah, it certainly looks like feigning.
I was trying to kind of work this out and speak to some people today about it, and I can't really still get my head around it. I think it's maybe to do with the fact that it was an off the ball incident, or I don't really know. As I said, it's really messy and it's quite a hard one for people to get their head around because there's so many layers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if you even go right back to the start of this whole incident, it was the fourth official that first flagged it up. You've then got a red card being given by a referee who had never seen it. You've got VAR saying, oh, that's fine. You've then got an appeal one. But you've now got the compliance officer, mm-hmm, who hasn't been seen or heard of in a long time, getting involved again. Gordon used the phrase earlier, a can of worms. I just think it's a bit too severe.
Because I wonder how the refs feel, Gordon, because we said this is totally separate. So I think it was Nick Walsh in the VAR that night. He clearly feels that he might not think it's a red card.
Yeah.
But he's looking at that footage and saying it is a bit grainy, it is a bit far away, I can't prove that there's no touch. The on-field decision is this, so we're going to need to stick with that. Mm-hmm. So it kind of does the refereeing process in a little bit. If then after it,
yeah, and VAR.
If somebody else can turn around and say, no, I can tell there's no contact there.
Which is astonishing for me, but it does. It brings the referee and VAR into question with the situation. Look, I think we'll all agree, first and foremost, we do want to stamp out the game.
That's what, right? I was going to say, and let me 100% take my claret number specs off as well.
Yeah,
are we missing that point of it? Did it need something severe? Does it need a shock to the system? But, the players need to stop doing this.
But I think people will be able to highlight other instances that have happened throughout the season, mm-hmm, that we could have probably stamped on. But he's waited now until seven games to go. Is it a case of saying, right, okay, they came to the right decision. I think for everybody came to the right decision. Would it have been a case of seeing this season out and then addressing it for the start of next season going forward? Because I think everybody is absolutely baffled with the four games banned and two suspended. And Motherwell are quite right to go out there and say, do you know what? We will be watching to see what's happening here.
Do you think that's hard, Gary? Do you think players do still, you know, has there been other evidence of players where, I don't know, they maybe go head-to-head and a player goes down or there's kind of contact? You think this has been just kind of randomly selected a bit?
I mean, I think people like Kyle Lafferty are lucky VAR wasn't involved back in the day.
That was a while ago, to be fair.
Now, I'm trying to ask you a question. Is it still just a yellow card if you're caught diving?
On the field.
Right. So, that's what should have happened then. VAR should have intervened that day and just booked Slattery, and then it's a booking. But to go for what should have been a booking, mm-hmm, to a four-game ban, I mean, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I know. I think there's a slight bit of nuance there, David, because if you get caught, if you like, mm-hmm, diving, simulating or whatever on the field and you get a yellow, you've been unsuccessful.
Yeah.
So that's the thought process is... And by the way, as Gary's talking about VAR can't give out yellows. Mm-hmm. So I think the thought process is it has to be more severe than a yellow because you did get Richard King sent off. you know, whereas if Callum Slattery goes down in the box, referee spots it, books him, Motherwell haven't got the penalty. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't, you've not been successful.
Is it different then for trying to win a penalty than trying to, and he was obviously trying to get a man sent off.
No, in theory, if you, oh my goodness, if somebody signed you for for post split,
top three.
No, in theory, if you went into the box, took a complete dive, the team got a penalty for it, and VAR didn't overturn it, you could still be done retrospectively for that.
Right. Okay.
But that's where, having said that, David, you can still see why that jars with people. Where say on field, this is a yellow, but you now could be looking at a 4-game ban afterwards.
Yeah. And again, why have they felt the need to do this? This is, I know it's an independent panel and everything, but I just feel it was a bit needless. You know,
I remember a lot of St Mirren fans after Richard King won his appeal saying, right, what next then? What for Callum Slattery? Does he just get away with this?
But because he did, you know, again, it comes back to the conclusive evidence. I mean, I think he went down without really being touched.
I think we all kind of do, don't we? Yeah.
But again, the reason that Nick Walsh, a very experienced official on VAR, didn't overturn it was because he couldn't prove it. So you now have, as you say, and this comes back to how messy the whole thing is, a different panel and a compliance officer saying, no, well, we can prove it, so therefore you're getting this ban. It just feels a bit much. You know, I think Callum Slattery was even publicly admonished by his, criticised by his own manager and everything, but it just feels a bit much.
Mm-hmm. So what about that then? Because then definitely want to provide balance here and not make it as if Callum Slattery's all the victim or all been hard done by. If you've seen that Jens Bertolascu sort of criticised him for going down the way he did, then should you have too many complaints or?
No, because I think you can, because you can criticise your player, but then you can also look at punishments and feel that the punishment
is
doesn't
the punishment
set the crime.
Too severe.
Yeah, that's what probably is.
I think that's where a big problem is. I think if you come back and said, look, you've got a 1-game ban for that, I don't think people would be up man's, would they? No. You know, but 4 games, 2 suspended, it's a bit much.
So what do you think though, is it, and this won't please Callum Slattery, it won't please Motherwell, do you think because people are seeing it as an issue that they need stamped out the game, that you try to make an example of that?
Potentially.
Is that a potential, Gary?
Yeah, potentially. Again, but still, I think, like Gordon said there, a 1-game ban, maybe that fits the crime. That's really excessive. But don't get me wrong, it means that when we play Motherwell, third part, Slattery's not playing, probably, maybe.
Well, he's only got 2 games just now, doesn't he?
He'll miss the next two.
You calm yourself, right. Gary. He'll be back and he'll be fresh. he'll ever had a rest. Again, this is probably not as important, but just in case people are wondering, it's just not a fast track issue. You know, if you go and elbow somebody in the face and you get retrospectively, you could get done straight away, sort of thing. When was this? This was weeks ago.
I forgot all about it.
I know.
And that's it. Almost kind of came out of the blue today. Yeah. But yeah, no, it wasn't a fast track. It was very much one where they go and gather evidence, and they, as you say, Gordon, in terms of who was on the panel with the compliance officer.
Mm-hmm. I think it's been bubbling away, because if you watched the VAR review that was on last week and hadn't chucked stuff at the telly yet, that incident we couldn't include, mm-hmm, because the disciplinary bit was still going on. So, you know, we hadn't yet heard I think that'll come on the next one, because this has been bubbling away for a while. I think Motherwell have been trying to argue their case.
And as you know, as the statement says, I think there are other examples where people have gone down and it's just been dealt with by the referee and everybody's moved on. So what I hope this doesn't open is, you know, the beginning of incidents like this and people going and complaining, mm-hmm, and people, I just feel we've got a lot going on in Scottish football just now. We don't need that to add on top of it.
Thank you very much to Gary. I did say I thought that was one that would just capture the imagination no matter who you support, because I think people feel passionately about that sort of thing. But Alec, you're a St Mirren fan. What do you think? Is this right? Slattery went down, your guy got sent off. Is it right that he's been done or not?
Listen, Gordon, we're on the programme many times, you know, talking about St Mirren. And on that night, Motherwell absolutely annihilated us. I think the circumstances could be different again if the score was 0-0 and Richard King gets sent off. You know, and Slattery's then been proved to dive, and we end up losing the game that way. We've lost a couple of games in there. Personally, I think it's an atrocious decision. The time and everything you guys have discussed is absolutely spot on. Why is it taking this long? The incident happened on the 21st of February. If they want to stamp it out, again, it should have been done, discussions in the close season. They should inform clubs what they're intending to do from the start of the season. All you're going to get now, between now and the end of the season, is when guys go down, the opposition running at the referee, expecting them to show a card or send the guy off or whatever, and then expect a punishment in the back of it. I have to say, though, the incident was, for a professional football player, was shocking. In terms of the way he went down, you know, you'd seen it on the video. It's almost that delayed reaction where he just clutches his face and falls to the ground, and he should be ashamed of himself for that. But a four-game punishment, I think, is way, way excessive.
Yeah, I also don't see, when you get all these kind of grey areas, I don't think it does help anyone, because Alec, very sort of magnanimous of Alec, who's a St Mirren fan, I thought he maybe would have wanted to stick the boot in, and he could have been justified for it, because he said
five.
No, but he's saying it was shocking, and I think a lot of people agree. So then, but this, what do you do going forward? So if you're touched at all, can you go down and don't get a ban because you've been touched ever so slightly?
This is the problem. This is what I'm saying. This is where we're now at. I do agree with. I think Alec, his point's absolutely brilliant there. He's correct in everything he says. And I think Slattery, being the professional he is and the player he is, because he's a fantastic talent, the boy, I think he'll be a wee bit embarrassed about it as well. But I think the punishment, I just think it's outrageous.
But then, and then as Alec says, you know, this might, what does this, in terms of refereeing, because actually this, what's happened today is not, it's nothing to do with the refs. It's taken well out of their hands. Goes to, you know, compliance officer gives a notice of complaint. It's then an independent panel that sits on that. So it is another, at a time when there's a lot going on in the way that games are refereed, we have maybe added something else.
Yeah, we've added something else that didn't need to be added. It's needless. Gordon.
Yes, Alec.
I heard you talking about, you know, the Japanese squad training at Dumbarton, and it's unfair to single players out. But you know, a player who played with Celtic, if you go back 2 or 3 years ago, there was a lot of debate around how this centre forward would mysteriously fall when nobody was close to him or very close to him in terms of contact, etc. So it's something that's been happening, but there's no explanation given as to how do you arrive at a four-game ban around this. Everybody's saying they want diving out the game. It's the most frustrating thing, and it's probably one of the things that fans hate to see, because it just causes delay in the game. The game's broken up, you're waiting on a physio coming on for treatment or whatever. So we all want to keep the game going, but they need to be clear to come out as how they arrived at that decision, so that players know and referees know going forward. It's unacceptable, but what is the punishment? And it can then be consistent, because the first time a Celtic or Rangers player, it happens to them and they get a one game ban, as you say, mother will be all over it, you know.
Thank you very much, Alec. I'll need to nip it there. I didn't realise how late I was for this break, and I was enjoying your call, because you make some very interesting points. That was Alec in Cardonald. Let me tell you about this.
Clyde One.
Got something that will put even Scottish football into perspective for you. Tomorrow, you could be £700,000 better off. Get your phone out right now if you've not done it. Make me a winner. Text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find all the rules for this network competition. Or call 03434 269340. The calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It's over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. tomorrow. The £700,000 will go to someone. It might as well be you. Good luck.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel and Gordon DLR here. 01419511025 is the number, as always. So let's get involved on whatever it is you fancy tonight. Whether it is this Callum Slattery business, whether it's Scotland, whether it's title race, all that sort of stuff. Give us your thoughts right now. And we will work our way through it. Championship fans, I've been speaking to some of you in the last couple of days as well, because of the game the other night. Did you watch it? Your old pal Mark Wilson again coming up with the goods.
No, I was actually going to go up, but I was on the show. So obviously,
could have made the second half.
I couldn't have got there, but I tell you what, a good result for him. Very good result for him. Keeps him in there. Keeps that pressure on St Johnstone at the top. That's exciting this year. I know that there's a lot of stick coming for my old two teams, Raith and Ayr, but if you look how tight that, you know, for the playoff positions are, it's incredible. A couple of wins and all of a sudden you're in a very good position. And then brilliant news that Ayr United opened their new training stadium. They were going to open it when I was there, so it just showed you it was well overdue.
Worth it, wait. John's in East Kilbride. Take it away, John.
Hey, aye, thanks for having me on. But I just came in the night and switched on my phone and saw this harsh, in your opinion, punishment for Callum Slattery for taking a blatant dive.
Well, I think it was a St Mirren fan before the break that said that.
Well, aye, but has MB mentioned that Gordon Dale.
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah. I'm here, John.
I know you're both Motherwell supporters, but you're not supposed to be biased. But but what Gordon said was, "Oh, a four match ban is absolutely ridiculous, and it should only be a one match ban." Well, they're forgetting, or I don't know whether they remember, but our man got a two match ban. He got a two match ban for a red card. So what's ridiculous about a guy totally innocent getting a two-match ban? Richard King, right? We're losing them. You know, we're losing players right, left, and centre with injuries and all the rest of them, you know. So we missed that guy for two games.
No, he won his. No, he won his appeal. He didn't serve a suspension.
He didn't.
No, he won his appeal.
You must have missed two games, John.
Eh? Aye. All right, didn't he? Oh, well, then, there's my argument.
No, but hold on. To be fair, John, I think in theory what you're saying is still... I don't think that's the point shot down. Just that, you know, he didn't... You're right. I see where you're going with it, but he didn't serve his suspension.
He didn't serve his suspension. Aye, well, thank God, somebody stepped in.
He appealed, this is the other thing, just confusing about the kind of timing. You can do that quite quickly. So that appeal went in quick, it got heard quick, and he never served a suspension. But you're right. Certainly the original hard-done-by person in all of this is Richard King.
That's right, aye.
So, if it had been a tight game, it could have cost you your team that night and so on.
Aye. Well, it wasn't a tight. I mean, I must admit, it's the best team that's played us. The only team that's played us off the park, really, has been Motherwell. We've given Rangers and Celtic have their games, you know, so... and we're back in business anyway, you know, because we beat Falkirk there, you know, we love playing Falkirk, that's it, we've done the double over them, you know, the only two away games I've won all season, you know, and Falkirk's a really a good team, you know, so good to watch as well, so...
Yeah. No, I get the theory of where John's coming from, and this is where I said we want to tread this delicate balance, because if people are saying that Callum Slattery cheated and it's wrong and everybody wants to see it, then should we be that outraged at the outcome today?
No, I don't think outraged, but I think we're allowed to be surprised at the severity of it. I mean, if you're getting a two-match ban, just to touch on what John was saying, if Richard King was due a two-match ban for violent conduct, and then Callum Slattery gets a four-match ban for kidding on there was violent conduct, you try your head around that one. So I can understand outrage, no, but surprise, I think that's allowable.
And then I guess, Gordon, the other layer for some people is more like, okay, do you do this every time then? You know, or you know, how do you make sure that... Because if this is set in stone, and then it is a good... If it does prove to be a deterrent, and in a year, 2 year, 3 years time, no player ever dives, and they go, look at that, like that, Callum Slattery, that, then brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Great. But it's not going to happen, is it?
I don't know.
No, it's not. Consistency, that's what the word is everybody's looking for. And they say it in referees' decisions, they say it in that. Listen, I'm with John. One thing... I said on the night, I thought that it wasn't good for me to see Slattery going down the way he went down. I didn't think Richard King deserved it, and it all came to the right decision. I don't care if it's Motherwell, I don't care what player it is. I just think that for a four game and two suspended, for me it's a bit harsh. I would have waited to the end of the season and then started on a fresh, because I think other situations you could look at throughout the season and probably have a debate Well, how did that not happen? Mm-hmm. That's the reason Motherwell have come out with their statement, rightly so, and I back them with that.
I think as well, David, because I always think the notion of consistency can be a bit vague and a bit overplayed, because ultimately, let's say it's tackles. Mm-hmm. Are two tackles ever truly the same? Are they ever the exact same? And also, one might be reffed by you, mm-hmm. and the other might be reffed by him at different times, in different places, at different views. So I always think it's going to be hard to ever get true ultimate consistency on them, because what does that mean? But this is actually more about kind of process,
yeah,
really, isn't it? Rather than, because this isn't a refereeing decision as such. This is more
this is about process. As Motherwell said, different layers of refereeing, you know, a third layer, if you want to call it that. And that is why I think it becomes messy. That is why it becomes people out there trying to get their head around how it all came to this. That the compliance officer, as I said, you've not heard from him for a long, long time, comes out and does this. I think if there's going to be lessons learned, you know, Willie Collum always talks about learning from mistakes. And this has got nothing to do with Willie, this one. I think that's always clear to say as well.
Well, to be fair, there is an original decision on field that you would look then if you can get that right in the first place.
Yeah, I get that. But I think the SFA in general should learn from this one, because I just think this could have been handled a lot better.
Thank you, John, on the line. Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. We've had a few tiebreakers recently. It feels like, what about Alex Ray last night? Did you hear him?
No,
I'll tell you about him when we come back. It was brilliant. What a performance on the tiebreaker. If you want to play tonight, 01419511025, and the lines close at 7. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon Dale and David Friel of the Scottish Sun are joining us tonight. See, just when you think it might be a slightly quiet day in Scottish football, four-match ban to Callum Slattery, and everybody wants involved. We've had St Mirren fans, we've had neutral fans. Not actually any of you Motherwell fans yet. Interested to hear your perspective on it. So keep the calls coming in. Title race, Scotland stuff coming up, lots happening. Get in touch and we'll play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. So you didn't hear the tiebreaker last night?
No,
Alex
tell us.
Ray, it was you would have fried your head. It was right. The as the crow flies, the distance between Hampden
right
and Japan's National Stadium.
Oh, a lot of miles.
So Alex got it pretty close. It was 5,770, and he got it really quite close. Uh-huh. And so it was a lucky guess. And he just revealed these calculations. He said, "No, well, you know, I figured it was probably, you know, planes will go at about 500 mile an hour, and I thought it was probably about a 10-hour flight. So I said, you know, 5,000 miles." Who knew?
I like
the man
that.
Was an aviation expert,
Alex Ray.
Honestly, I forgot that.
Hidden talents.
I know, that's brilliant.
I'm really quite impressed.
And then it
was just a mad period. He name dropped that he'd been out for dinner with Eric Clapton.
I heard that.
Because he was listening to Eric Clapton at the time.
When was he out for dinner with Eric Clapton? Yeah.
Even dropped
one night, I think.
What, he's just sitting in my seat? Was it what, just
telling fibs?
Exactly.
I was walking along the King's Road, and Eric just came out and asked me. I heard that. That was impressive.
But it shows you the type of thing that catches on, because I was in the school run this morning and people were saying, "Oh, about Alex Ray, 5,000 miles last night." News travels fast.
It was well good, Alex.
You've got a lot to live up to tonight. Paul is on the line. How are you, Paul?
Hi, I'm good, thanks.
Have you ever played before?
I played in Matt Wilson before. It was easy.
You beat him?
Easy.
Oh yes. Ooh, I like the sounds of that. What made you call back? Do you fancy another doubler?
I need another ball for my dog.
For your dog?
Aye.
What's your dog's name?
I've got one called Hector and one called Sasha.
So who's getting the dog? Egg the ball.
One each?
It'll be Hector.
Hector. Right, okay.
Who would you rather play?
Oh, David. Went to school with David.
Oh.
You went to school with David?
I'm just noticing the screen, Paul and Cole Scythe. How you doing, Paul?
Aye, all right. Good, went to school with David.
Primary school, high school?
I was primary school, high school to about third year, then you were quite clever.
Both? Paul, you two go way back.
Yeah. Paul sounds a lot older than David, doesn't
he? He does a bit of joke.
By the way, I'm guessing the one that doesn't smoke then, Paul.
Aye, I've just put a fag out.
It's brilliant. What school was that?
St. Patrick's, St. Morris.
Are you just kidding on, you know?
There's a lot of Pauls, there's a lot of people in Kilsyth.
And Paul won't want to give his second name away in case it goes wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
He's a smoker. Who smoked at your school? Everybody. He smoked when he was young.
It was Cumbernauld in the 90s. Everybody smoked. Are you mad? Right, anyway, we'll toss the coin. You might well get your wish. You're looking for the blue side to land you with your old school pal. Otherwise, it'll be the red side, Gordon DL. Let's see how we go. Oh, I'm afraid it's going to need to wait for another day. The Dazzler up against Paul.
Good luck, Paul.
Why did he just stop mid-sentence? Anyway, Paul, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer. All right?
You got it, thanks.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Which current Celtic player joined from Aston Villa in 2024?
Sinisalo.
Which current player has become the first ever Rangers call-up to represent Mauritania?
Pass.
At which Scottish side stadium are Japan training this week?
Dumbarton.
Who do Northern Ireland face in their World Cup playoff tonight?
Galway.
How many current Scottish Premiership managers have been with their club players for longer than a decade?
Two.
The original World Cup trophy was named after which Frenchman?
Pass.
And what year did Celtic last finish outside the top two? Quick, because I messed up a question.
1991.
Okay, Gordon DL, can you hear us?
Yeah, who was that singer?
I don't know.
I'm sure I met him. Whoever it was.
Elvis Presley it was.
I wasn't Elvis Presley.
What song was that? I'm only kidding, I was trying to think
dance,
of the
Dance With My Baby.
Right, doesn't matter.
You didn't meet them, whoever it was, no. Didn't go to school with them.
Didn't go to school.
Anything like that?
No. Right, we're ready.
You're the most famous person to be in and around your time at school, would you say?
No. The most famous person a wee bit older than me was Wilson Humphreys. It managed Motherwell.
Good bit older than you, no?
Is he?
I don't know, man.
But he was a teacher when I was at school.
Right, okay.
But he was, when I was at DL High School, he was there. He was the main man.
Eddie Grant, I Don't Want to Dance.
That's it, was a damn.
Producers always tell me, I've got a clue.
I never met Eddie.
Because I don't listen to it. I'm listening to the questions. Ready?
Right, go.
Your time starts now. Which Celtic player, current Celtic player, joined from Aston Villa in 2024?
Pedro. Current player. Sorry, go.
Which current Rangers players become the first to be called up to represent Mauritania?
Oh, Fernandes.
At which Scottish side stadium are Japan training this week?
Dumbarton.
Who do Northern Ireland face in their World Cup playoff tonight? How many current Scottish Premiership players have been with their club for longer than a decade?
10.
The original World Cup trophy was named after which Frenchman?
Jean-Pierre Papin. Absolutely. It sounded good, didn't it?
The Jean-Pierre Papin trophy. Okay.
Oh, the 2024 Aston Villa one killed me. I was thinking 2004.
Right, is that some sort of
I was thinking petrol.
Anyway, Paul, you have to have beat that ever, surely. Paul, if you've no one tonight, you'll be able to show your face in Kilsyth ever again.
Hello.
Let's go through them.
I need to laugh now.
Which current Celtic player joined from Villa in 2024? Still not got it. Oh, you're not getting any forgiveness from me then. Sinisalo.
Oh, no. Forgot about him.
I thought you knew his Wikipedia. Do you know what his favourite line is? I've noticed this. I'm going to get somebody to listen back and count the number of times he's, because we've been talking a lot about Kasper Schmeichel. Yeah. He goes, this guy's an international goalkeeper. Always says it.
Did Paul get that?
He did.
Oh, I can't beat right away here. I don't know, man.
Which current player has become the first ever Rangers call up to represent Mauritania? Jerry Gassama.
Did he get that?
So not a is it a film or a series called The Mauritanian? You ever seen that?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes, I have.
Really,
and
good.
He wasn't in it.
No, it's not about him. Let me tell you that it's a very different subject.
Did Paul get that as well?
Matter as well. No, he didn't. Jerry right. Gassama. 1-0 to Paul. The Dumbarton is where Japan played. So you both got that. So Paul still stays
Paul was
one
listening, didn't he know?
You both knew Northern Ireland play Italy tonight. Partick Thistle's Josh Clark, Kilmarnock's Brad Lyons amongst the squad. So you both got it. So you stay one behind.
Oh, I can't beat.
I think this is really tough. This is one of these ones where I just think the producers are asking a lot. How are you supposed to count up that there's five Premiership players who've been with their club for longer than a decade? Forrest, McKenzie, McGregor, Pittman, Tavernier.
Oh, did Paul get it?
No, of course he didn't. So you stay one behind.
I'm lost in the world. Sivic, John Pierre Papon.
Which means it all comes down to the big question. Was the World Cup trophy named after Jean-Pierre Papin or not? Give me a big drum roll on this one.
Well, all right, do you know the answer?
It's well known.
Jules Rimet.
Jules Rimet still gleaming, 30 years of hurt.
I don't know that. But I'll tell you.
Remember, it was lost in a bush and a dog called Pickles found it?
Yes, yeah. I remember Pickles. Right. If you'd asked me the dog's name.
So you knew the name of the dog, but not the trophy?
No, I had no idea. And I'll tell you what, ask me that next Tuesday and I still won't know.
Jules Rimet.
But I'll tell you what, do you not think there's a wee niche here for that to be changed to the Jean Pierre?
The word you're looking for is niche.
Niche.
You're getting yourself in all sorts of trouble.
Do you know, I think there's a wee niche.
Sorry to go all dictionary corner. Right, is niche a French word as well, would we say? It possibly is.
For it to be changed to Jean-Pierre Papin.
Oh my word. Get this guy on countdown right now.
I think that would be good. You know did what? He get that?
No, but he didn't need it. Obviously, he was ahead. He even got another question.
What was the question?
Sort of, because I made a mess of one of Paul's questions and I gave him an extra one.
Ah, see, there. Well, I'm still anyway.
In what year did Celtic last finish outside the top two? He got it wrong. He said 91. It was 95.
Oh, I remember that.
Do you? I'm sure you do. Paul, you absolutely own these two. You've the old duo. You've done Wilson. You've done DL. You can come back for your old schoolmate, David Freel, another time and make it a hat-trick.
Well.
You...
I think it
would have
been a lot harder playing David right now.
I think David would have got the World Cup one. I'm not too sure.
I think so. David would have gotten.
When did you got there, Dov?
All bar one. You wouldn't get the five players.
No,
would
that
you?
Would have been a guess. I think I probably done all right with the rest.
You'd have
would
got
you?
The rest right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, it's okay when you're sitting there, no playing.
Because by the way,
when the World Cup question comes out again, you might think you might answer.
We need to decide really carefully here. He's still got time to rack up some more appearances because, in theory, David could end up winning this season here. Because
he's played about 10 times.
Six.
Six? You can't even win a league
not
with
five,
six.
But he's won. But
five?
Hold on.
No, I think I'm six.
But he's got 100%, right?
Invincible.
He's 100%. Mm-hmm. Let's say he plays a few more times for the end of the season. Marvin's top at the moment. He's getting scrubbed. Who's he?
Yeah. But
how many
has he played?
15.
Where is guys like, where's guys like
forget
Marcel
him.
And Shug in that?
Oh no, you two are way down.
I bet how many we played?
A lot, but it doesn't matter. So anyway, Paul, who's your Celtic fan, did you say,
World
Paul?
Cup answer, by the way. Let me tell
you. You're a Celtic fan, Paul?
I'm a Celtic man, aye.
Right, what are you thinking at the moment then?
Well, I've been wrote off plenty of times this season, so we'd never write us off.
Quite. So you still think there's a chance?
There's always a chance, aye.
Okay, David, how would you rate that chance? Because I've enjoyed this week just because it is obviously personal preference and opinion. There's such a wide range from we can still win it, or maybe Paul saying don't write us off, and obviously we've had a good few no chance.
Yeah, look, saying no chance, I mean, I don't think Celtic will win the league now because I don't think they'll win the seven games. I think they need to win the seven games, to be perfectly honest with you. I know Callum McGregor mentioned five or six, but for me, Celtic need to go perfect between now and the end of the season. And we spoke earlier about the striking situation. Martin O'Neill doesn't know his number nine, he doesn't know his best wingers, so I think it's going to be very, very hard now for Celtic to win the league.
I'm starting to think that way. I tipped Celtic at the beginning. I've stuck by them. But after I know that it's a one-off against Dundee United and the pitch and everything, and I'm not taking anything away from Dundee United, and the final third especially, I think they're all over the place. Unless there's a miracle, and you're right. I would probably say Yep, six. I think Callum had maybe mentioned five or six. Five's never going to win your league, never in a million years. Six would give you a little bit of hope, but right now I would make them third favourites.
Paul, what's the, I don't know if it is confidence, the relative confidence, what's that based on? Just because you, this notion that you kind of can't write Celtic off, they've won so much in recent seasons, that sort of stuff?
Well, we've been wrote off against Rangers a couple of things. We've wrote off quite a few things this season, and we just never know with Celtic. They're not as bad as I've made it to be. And we're still the champions, and from the end of May, we'll still be the champions.
Yeah. It just, what there becomes a point, David, where it becomes almost about arithmetic more than anything, you know, not designed to be an insult to Celtic, just about, do you need to win all their games? Possibly yes. Are they capable of doing that? It doesn't maybe look that likely at the moment. We argued a bit about this previously this week, but you know, Callum McGregor to say maybe we need to win five or six. I'm no expert in these things, but I just think if you get the calculator out, I can't see how 15 more points would be enough for Celtic.
It doesn't, and see as well, I think goal difference is going to come into it, and it's always the old thing you say, but Celtic's goal difference is what, 6 worse than Hearts, 8 worse than Rangers, so that could be an extra point at the end of the season as well. I just think Celtic need to win all 7 games. I don't think anything in the 70s is going to win you the league this season. I think you need to hit probably 81, 82 points, so Celtic for that to do that would have to win all 7 games. I mean, for me, Hearts in the driving seat now. I'll be honest with you, I've been one who felt Hearts would probably fall away, but seeing them the last couple of games at Tynecastle, they're not giving much away in terms at the back. They're getting the wins, they've got their big players coming back as well, and to me, it's Hearts to lose now.
It's very hard to argue, and you've got to look at the fact that they've been at the top of the league for a long, long time now, something like 25 weeks, David. Every time they lose a game, we're all sitting waiting for the bubble to burst, as they say in the game. Never happens. They always bounce back. Look, they're not going out there and blowing teams away, but the one thing they're doing is they're getting 3 points and putting pressure on the two teams below. And all of a sudden, you look now that, yes, Rangers, I think, are in a decent position, sitting 3 points behind. Celtic have a lot of ground to make up. I really think Celtic have a lot of ground to make up. Look, they know that the history of Celtic and the past winners and the character and everything they've got on their side, the manager they've got, everything about them. But that's going to take a big, big ask for me.
I think as well, sorry Gordon, I think the timing of the post-split fixtures, you know, for example, if Celtic play Hearts first or something like that, I think that then, you know, if Celtic can win the next two games and then beat Hearts, then that maybe changes things slightly, but I just think it's such a tall order, especially when you don't really have a
functioning
number
nine. Would never imagine this, but where Celtic are just right now, when we come back for the international break, if they lose anything at Dens, everybody would admit that's in God. So they're going game to game now. You know, and you would never have seen that with Celtic, but that's just the position. And it's all credit to, for me, for Hearts. And obviously Rangers sitting and tucked in there behind makes it exciting.
Thanks to Paul, by the way, on the line. That was Paul and Kilsyth, who's tucked Gordon DL away there on Beat the Pundit. Do you think, you know, one of the favourite cliched questions that you and myself and others will have asked David Field many times is this notion of, does an international break come at a good or a bad time? And there are some loose sort of ground rules you attach to that. If a team has had, you know, a lot of injuries, maybe it comes at a good time. If they look like they need a break, or if they've had a bad result, people then spin it the other way and say, if you have a bad result, it's good to get right back out, all that sort of stuff. I think clearly though, if you want to talk injuries or notable people to return, this suits Hearts, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Because Shankland and Devlin have played, but they've now got a couple of weeks, almost certainly they'll have bounce games in that time, and then, you know, back. Rangers would be the ones who got into the break feeling kind of good about themselves as well. What is this for Celtic? Is it a psychological reset as much as anything? Because Alistair Johnson may feature
post-split, I think he would be back.
But other than that, it's not like, well, to be fair, I don't know what the situation, Chavancha, was he ill?
Yeah, I think he was ill and he tried to train, apparently tried to train on Saturday, then was just left out on the Sunday.
So what's to be gained from this break for Celtic? Because it's going to need to be drastically different then if, you know, Paul and others are going to get their wish and they go on somewhere.
Exactly, and I think that's probably why Martin O'Neill gave his players a few days off, because Celtic as well don't have the break for the Scottish Cup weekend that Hearts and Rangers will have, obviously, as well. So Celtic, once they come back, they're going to be getting that same full on until the end of the season. I think it's just probably just to rest your mind, recover, and just get ready and come back with probably a renewed attitude for Celtic, because I just felt they let themselves down at Tannadice in terms of... It's quite surprising for the Celtic team to say that they kind of lacked a bit of fight, a bit of desire, but I don't think you could watch that game and think anything else, Gordon. For me, as soon as Dundee United scored the first goal, I thought the game was over. I didn't think Celtic looked as if they had the game in them to come back and get something from it. I can't remember the last time I ever said that about a Celtic team. You know, it was quite interesting listening to Frank McAvaney's comments yesterday, talking about the lack of fight and everything like that as well. So I think Martin O'Neill has to get his players back fresh. They'll have a full week's training before that Dundee game. But in terms of Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney, I think what they need to do over the next couple of days, certainly ahead of training next week, is decide who their best number nine is. And I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do.
It's not an easy question, though. That's why, isn't it?
No, because nobody's showing the form that they're looking to, you know, for a player to go and grasp and say, you know, get us out. We need a number nine to start banging in the goals. You know what I mean? They've tried everybody through that middle, and they change it during the games as well. You can't knock them for that. They're active in the substitutions, but I think that's a massive problem just now.
Partick Thistle have made a signing. Gary Mackay-Steven signed for the club until the end of the season. So Mark Wilson, Alex Ray putting some pieces in place to try and recover from all those injuries. Of course, it's a kind of free agent market time of year. So any thoughts on that, Jags fans? Get in, and we will speak to you when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. So please jump on board and let us know what you're thinking. We're seeing footage of the playoff participants tonight for the World Cup on the screens, and it's just brilliant to not be involved, isn't it? Just sitting back.
And we're just seeing the Italian bus there. They're all dreaming of getting their hands on the John Pierre Papin trophy.
I wonder if they're listening to the programme going in and going, Dazzler's come up with a great name there for a trophy.
A few people not happy with you at all.
Why?
Just some messages in. Barry says football man and doesn't know Jules Rimet.
I forgot Jules. I can only apologise on behalf of myself, but I think it should be changed.
It's now just called the FIFA World Cup Trophy, I think. Not as good that, is it?
So if I'd have said that, I'd have got a point?
Well, no, because the question was the original.
Oh, the original, was it?
As if you would come up with that anyway.
Yeah. I would have just called it World Cup Trophy.
Come on, right.
What's the Scottish Cup's name?
Just the Scottish
Cup. There you go, then. What's the point of calling a World Cup after when the dog fun it? I was a wee grey dog, wasn't it? Was it a wee grey dog?
I don't know. Pickles. All I know it was called pickles.
So you want me to find out what colour pickles was?
I'm thinking the other dog that sits in the graveyard, innit?
Greyfriars Bobby.
That's it.
What's happening?
Did he find it?
You realise if I Google pictures of pickles, it'll be black and white?
It's got to be an obsession.
Let's give you this question.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Oh, bit of a tricky question this one. Thank you to Kenny for sending in. At the weekend, Celtic lost an eighth game in the league for the first time since 99-2000. What was the starting 11 when this last happened? March 26, 2000, was a 4-0 defeat to Rangers. So the last Celtic starting 11 that lost...
99-2000?
Aye.
So
they lost 4-0 to Rangers. That was 8 league defeats for them that campaign. What was the starting 11 that day?
Right, 99-2000.
26 years ago today, incidentally. So actually is good timing from Kenny.
I should actually get that, because I played against Martin O'Neill's team in 2000.
Well, it wasn't Martin O'Neill's team, so you're on a bad night. Just before he took over.
Right, it was the March. Yeah, but most of the players will still be there. Right, okay. Jackie McNamara must be one.
Well done.
Johnny Gould.
Yep.
Oliver Tibbeley.
Yes.
No, I didn't start that game. He was on the bench.
Stan Petrov.
Yes, a young Stylian Petrov.
That's who I was thinking. Yeah, exactly.
One more guess from you.
Stefan Mahe.
Yes, he played at left back, I think, or he certainly played. Well done. All right, that's four. We'll try and get the other seven. Thanks again to Kenny for sending it in. Thanks to Arcoplan Glasgow as well for giving us their support. And the email address you need to send your questions in, fulltime@clyde1.com. John sent a message there to say, is the Dazzler actually that daft? And
who's John?
I don't know the answer to that. It's just, yeah, I think yes. I think the answer to that is yes. Grey Friars Bobby and John Pierre Papin all on the one show.
It's a Thursday night.
A vintage evening. What about that bit of signing news I told you about before the break? Gary Mackay Stephen.
Mm-hmm. GMS.
You know, coming, just called back to his spiritual home near the River Kelvin.
Yeah.
Signing for Partick Thistle.
Swimming down to training. Yeah. The closest club he could possibly get to.
He'll need a club car. A club pair of trunks. My way he goes. I'll tell you what, that could be a good signing for Mark.
I think they are. I mean, they obviously lost Tony Watt. Lost Logan Chalmers to injury as well.
Brutal that, isn't it?
I know.
And the squad they
Ocean
carry.
Smith as well.
Such big players this time of the season.
And I think watching the game Friday night, the St Johnstone game, they lacked that little bit of guile. So Gary Mackay-Stephen, I think he's come towards the end of his career, but full of skill, I'm sure he can come off the bench. I think Mark was talking today that he sees him as maybe an impact sub, just to give him a bit of help in the closing stages of games. Another good win for him during the week against Raith Rovers. So look, he's a guy Mark knows. He played with him at Dundee United, so I think he'll help him in the last couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, you can only do what you can do at this stage of the season, Gordon. So how on the 26th of March are you going to sign somebody who's flying, fully match fit, start every game? Like, you're
possible,
not,
no.
Not really out there, so
no,
it just makes sense.
No, it does make sense, because I think David's right. I think he's one of those guys. Look, you lose your sharpness, you don't lose your ability. And he's certainly got the ability to come on and maybe, 15, 20, 30 minutes, the way he builds them up. I know the games are running out, of course they are. But he's certainly he's a match winner. He can win you important games when it's so, so tight. So I think he's forced into a corner because of the situations, the size of his squad and everything. It's well worth taking him in, because I think he'll do him a decent turn.
Kept the title race interesting though the other night.
Yeah,
winning their game in hand, it's 5 points. That's the same gap that Hearts are above Celtic, and we're debating whether that's possible.
I think they just need to keep asking the question. I think they've had such a good season, and I know we have a laugh and everything on a Saturday about Markin, but I think he's done a brilliant job. I'm not just
really
saying that
job.
I think he's done a brilliant job. I think Alex done really well in with him as well. He's signed well, they play good football, and whether it's automatic or whether it's the playoffs, I think they've got every chance.
Well, any thoughts on that Gary Mackay-Stephen signing? You know where we are, Alan's in Paisley. How are you, Alan?
Not bad, Gordon. How are you?
Yeah, all good, Alan. Thank you. What's your point tonight?
It's about Ireland and Slattery.
Mm-hmm.
Four-match ban, it's effectively a two-match ban, because he's only getting 4 matches if he does it again.
Yeah.
It'd be a silly boy if he does. I would also go, so two-match ban used to be what everybody got for diving. But how does that compensate St Mirren in any way? We were forced to play 40 minutes against a very, very good Motherwell side who'd already won the game. We were 3-0 up at the time. We had forced to play 40 minutes with 10 men. I would go, if you want to go down the line of saying it's two state, you had to go two match or one match. But Motherwell, for me, if you want to even it out, should start. The next time Slattery's picked, he sits 40 minutes out as well. And that would make
like
it clear, because
an eye for an eye.
Yes, we've lost 2 goals to a good Motherwell side, and we're neck and neck with Kilmarnock, goal difference nearly. That 2 goals could be massive for us coming to the playoffs at the end of the season.
Yeah.
We might not have conceded at that point.
I think the thing about enforcing it, because by the way, I totally get the logic. How does that differ from, I don't know, right, let's say that you get a player wrongly sent off. Forget the, you know, the appeals or the suspensions. You get a player wrongly sent off, or you get a penalty wrongly given against you, or whatever. There is no like recourse in football for that, is it? It's just something that we all hate when it happens, but you kind of have to take on the chin. Do you know what I mean? Say you got a penalty wrongly against you this weekend, it's scored. That would be a goal that damages your goal difference, the same way that you speak of. But you don't get it back, do you? There is no opportunity to earn that back.
Yeah, I would say this is all incidental. This is, for most part, most people say, is a very factual act of simulation. And I think even the most diehard Motherwell fans would admit Slattery tried to pull the wool over the official's eyes with what he did.
Yeah, so, I think that's fair.
Yeah, and as I said, as we spoke earlier, Alan, I don't think we need to be outraged. I was just surprised that the way it was handled in terms of he's not just been done. There is, in the rule book, there is a two-match ban just for feigning injury, which I felt was just, it looks like an open shut case. But to go down the different route and proper conduct, it's a four-match ban, obviously two suspended. I was just a bit surprised at that. But clearly, he deserves some form of punishment. But as well as Gordon here, I think we were just a little bit surprised it went, you know, four, albeit two.
Would you like to see that Callum Slattery has to sit out the same amount of time against St Mirren the next time they play?
I know. Listen, it'd be something different exciting, but come on, there's enough problems in our game.
Well, also
without that, but it was a good point.
Yeah, well, they won't play again this season. And
that's true.
Callum Slattery could be sold in the summer. Yeah. Until, you know,
but let Alan pick any player he wants.
That's what you could do, Alan. If Callum Slattery's not there next season, you get to pick somebody.
Wouldn't it be Elliot Watt then? Because he dived against it.
Alan, one more dig. I'm going to make a joke about you might not be in the same division to play next season, but I wouldn't go there because I like St Mirren. I do. I wouldn't dare go there. Alan put up a. Say it again,
end up being three cup finals this year.
That's a good point. Listen, silverware all over the place. Would you take a Scottish Cup win on top of your League Cup if it meant going down?
I would take a Scottish Cup in the playoff final as long as they win it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but that wasn't the question. Alan, come on, answer the question, because I've had a debate about this months ago.
Who have you been debating?
I've been debating other people and other platforms, obviously. You know.
Yeah, you get about.
Exactly. I would just wonder, as a supporter, would you take the Scottish Cup and top of the League Cup and get relegated?
With a caveat, I would take that and I would take the relegation as long as we bounce straight back.
But you're always at Alan's as club. Long as
he's wriggled out of you.
No, but
that.
You can't say as long as we bounce straight back up.
Alan can do what he likes. It's
no,
cool.
He can't ask them a question.
Because that's always the fear, Alan, isn't it? To liken the two clubs, although they're enemies tonight, Motherwell, St Mirren, similar size. I've always thought about that, where the relegation itself, you can stomach. It's the fear that you never come back, isn't it? Or the fear that the club just, you know, is unrecognisable, and then the job losses, and you become, that's the fear, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you only look at two very similar size clubs in the other semi-final, Dunfermline and Falkirk.
Yeah.
Both went down, and they were arguably too big a club to be in that division for as long as they were, and even went down to the next league again. So it's easy done. Ross County looked like falling off a cliff again, potentially this year as well. So it can be massive.
Do you know what, Alan?
No,
I don't know. I don't want to alarm Alan telling him he thinks like me, but I think that's the answer I'd have given you. Because let's be honest, we season in the Championship. Maybe no VAR if you don't like it.
No.
You get to go to some different places.
Bigger crowds.
But you don't want to be down there forever.
I was going to say bigger crowds, but I'll disagree with that, because the crowds at Fir Park just now are brilliant.
And St Mirren have been getting decent crowds last few seasons. Yes, of course you can.
What I will say else about Slattery, why pick on Slattery? With Daniel Finneson dive against St Mirren, and so we got a goal chopped off, right? No retrospective actors action against him. We also had Elliot Watt, when he feigned a head knock against St Mirren, it was nothing against him. First day, it looked as if he did it against Jim Meaty in the last one of the old Firm games, where he got touched in the leg and he fell down. So why pick on just Slattery? Where does it stop?
Because this is the bit, is actually the core of it, because the Daniel Finlayson one is interesting, because that appeared on a previous VAR review as well, and I think it was widely acknowledged that that was a mistake. That goal should have stood. However, it was Dan. Was it Lindelöf?
Yeah.
He does touch Daniel Finlayson in the face. So what are we saying then? We're saying that as long as there is a touch. But yeah, then to well, then go back to, can you prove there is no touch on Callum Slattery? We all think obviously he's come down too easy. But if you're, as Alan says, if you're saying that any touch is enough to take you out of retrospective punishment territory, well, can you prove that there wasn't a touch there? Because exactly. The footage isn't great.
And that's why I come back to Motherwell's statement, and they've said, right, we're not happy with the punishment. The punishment's there, but we will be watching. Because there are other examples, as Alan said, of this happening. And this one, as you said, how can you prove that Callum Slattery wasn't touched?
I think we all watched it in here. I think you all scoffed when Trusty went down. What's it, he's... Chirmiti sort of slapped his knee or something. I remember you all scoffing and going, you know, why is he going down? So what are we supposed to distinguish and say, well, there was a touch there, there was contact, and therefore that's fine. Just to quickly add the other caveat though, Tremiti wasn't sent off, you know, and that's why there's no then, you've not been successful in your simulation, so that's why you're not going to get banned in a way that that Slattery did. But trying to get to this notion of, are we saying that any touch means it's okay, no touch means it's not okay, and the grey area in the middle, how can you prove there's no touch from Slattery when the cameras aren't good?
Yeah, and that's why I'm delighted I'm not in VAR or referee. I've got to be honest with you.
Or the compliance officer, or the appeals panel.
Yeah, yeah, because you could name a million. I was just thinking of the, Alan mentioned it there, the Elliot Watt one as well. I remember looking at that and thinking, that's incredible, we need to stamp this out. I'm not picking Motherwell players, but I'm just, obviously Alan brought it up. I just think we've got to get to a situation. But see, if you look at it the other way, if you're a Hearts fan, you'd have been shouting about Braga going down when he tries to stay up. Who was that against? Was that against
Kilmarnock? Yeah.
You know what I mean? As a Hearts fan, you're thinking, why does my player no go down?
But there was contact and so on. Yeah. Alan, give us a, I've enjoyed your company, so I'll take advantage of it. Give us your thoughts on your managerial situation.
I would give it to Craig McLeish for the rest of the season. I think he's shown an upturn. Second half against Rangers showed an upturn. The game against Falkirk, there was quite a few things that they were set up at Commerce. The boys all seem to be playing for him. He speaks very well. I think I would just give it to him for the end of the season and then take it for there.
David, did I see a story? Was it your newspaper or one of the others talking? Oh, there it goes, popped it right in front, that Tony Docherty apparently stuns St Mirren by snubbing chance to become Craig McLeish's number two.
Yeah, my colleague Robert Grieve put that story out earlier on. Yeah, it looked as if, I mean, I think St Mirren are, they do want to give Craig McLeish the job until the end of the season. I think they would just like an experienced guy in beside him. I think it's probably sensible. Tony Docherty was the chosen one, but for whatever reason, that's not going to happen. So as things stand, I think they're still looking to see how they can support Craig McLeish in some way. But just to echo what Alan's saying, I've been hearing good reports in terms of the senior players really, really taking with him. He's communicates very well. He's got them organised, trying to play football. And I think he's a young coach with a bright future. But I think St Mirren behind the scenes just feel that he could do with a bit more experience beside him.
So we're looking for a, you know, some kind of good character, keep morale up, an experienced coach available, free, unemployed, to go in and lift spirits at St Mirren.
I think you've just ripped up my CV there with going free. That is never in my CV.
I mean free time. Who says I was talking about you?
All right, I know you were looking at me thinking you're a perfect
guy. How arrogant of him, honestly.
Well, I've been there before, done it. I've worn those shoes.
You still got the Puma Kings. Could they be dusted off one
last
time?
I've walked out in cup finals with my new Hugo Boss suit on.
He'll corner Alec Gogic at the school gates tomorrow.
That's a good point.
Alex would play for it. He would
play for you.
He'd be my captain right away.
Right, okay. Anyway, thank you, Alan. In Paisley, it was a pleasure. Alan giving us his thoughts on various topics there. What about your teaser tonight? Celtic lost an 8th league game at the weekend there for the first time since the 99-2000 season. So that, it was 26 years ago today. They lost 4-0 against Rangers. What was the Celtic starting 11? Gould, Mahé, McNamara, Petrov.
Was Mark Burchill in there?
On the bench.
Oh, Boyd? Was he still there?
Tom Boyd. Yes.
Vidar Riseth.
Brilliant. One more guess.
Tommy Johnson.
Yes. And we'll get the rest of the answers next. 141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard. On the home straight on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, almost out of time, and yet still plenty of it to get your calls in. So please, let's hear from you on 0141-951-1025. Since we're on the contact us section of the show, what about fulltime at Clyde1.com? That's the email address if you want to submit a full-time teaser, just like Kenny has this evening. It is a nod to Celtic's 8th league defeat of the season at the weekend. The last time that happened, 26 years ago today, a 4-0 defeat to Rangers. Who was the Celtic starting 11? Jonathan Gould, Vidar Riseth, Tom Boyd, Stefan Mahé, Jackie McNamara, Stilian Petrov and Tommy Johnson. Which means 1, 2, 3. Are we going 4 to get?
Petter?
No.
No?
No.
Paul Lambert?
Yes.
Lubo Moravcik?
Yes. Have you ever heard the story about Hugh Keevans and Lubo Moravcik?
No, once or twice.
Two to get, we'll get them before the end of the show. On the subject of Celtic, Paul is a Celtic fan from Bishopton. How are you, Paul?
I'm good, Gordon. I'm also the Hugh Keevans impersonator.
Oh, if you're I'm starstruck. Go on, give us a line.
Give us that.
Good evening, gentlemen. It was an absolute pleasure to be in the company of one Harry Enfield last night at the King's Theatre. A trip down memory lane, 1990s nostalgia galore. It reminded me of the old gits, Craig Brown, Walter Smith.
So
absolutely
good.
Absolutely magnificent.
Oh, honestly, it gets better every time. Even you're impressed. Nothing like impresses you.
I like that. You can hang up now, mate.
Two great things came from that segment on the show where we tried to give away tickets to the Comedy Festival. One was Paul's impression of Hugh Keevans. The second was see the joke the guy phoned in with. And it didn't even win, but I loved it.
What was
what does Kermit the Frog say when he gets to the top of a Monroe? Muppet.
Muppet.
I thought it was outstanding. Truly outstanding.
That's good.
Long
I liked the, always liked that McGill's one.
The Glasgow
McGill's.
International Comedy Festival. Anyway, Paul, you're giving us your serious football opinion now on the back of that. What is it? Take it away.
Well, thanks anyway for a great night. My wife and I enjoyed it. I was saying to producer Chris there, I'm a Celtic supporter. I'm nailing my colours to the mast now, Gordon. I was unfortunately at Tannadice at the weekend. Sat right beside the dugout, so got a really great view of how bad the pitch was on the touchline. And again, I was saying to Chris when I phoned through, I saw a lot of the Celtic staff talking about the pitch, and part of me wondered whether their heads were gone before a ball even kicked. And if anyone has paid attention to Celtic during the warm-up, you'll see that Dyson Maeda sprints touchline to touchline, and his feet were just given away when he got to that touchline right in front of the dugout. So it's no surprise to me that performance happened. I think the heads were gone, as I said. And I just don't see this team having that ability to, I know Gordon's been saying, winning 7 out of 7. I don't see them being able to do 5 out of 7 or even maybe even 3. I think maybe any hope, and it is the hope that kills you, is that those games after the split, you know, the big important ones are going to be at Celtic Park. And I wouldn't put it past this team to beat Rangers and beat Hearts, but lose to the likes of Dundee at the weekend, or, you know, lose to Motherwell or lose to Falkirk. I am getting slight panic attacks thinking about a last day at Motherwell again, Gordon, but I'm sure you enjoy that.
So, it's funny because I think that does seem to be one of the forecasts, doesn't it? That it could well be Celtic go to Fir Park on the last day, David.
Yeah, and if it's still up for grabs, can you imagine, Martin O'Neill, what would that be 21 years after what happened in 2005? Yeah, look, I agree with Paul. Looking at it in terms of Celtic, could they win 7? You know, you're asking, could they win 5? But I always hate the cliche, one game at a time, but I think Martin O'Neill will be looking no further ahead.
Seeing the subject of mentality that Paul's referencing, I think it's always such a great debate, because obviously it can't be measured, it can't be proved. People have just got their theories on how it plays out. And on one hand, which sounds valid, you've got Celtic have got title winning mentality. They know what it takes. On the other, people will be very quick to counter that and say they don't know what it takes to come from third place with 7 games to go. So I've no idea which one of those prevails.
No, it's uncharted territory. I mean, for most of them. I mean, there's only, I'm trying to think back to like the COVID season, for example, where it was a really, really tough season for Celtic. But everybody else, pretty much apart from Callum McGregor, James Forrest, has only ever really known success. They've only ever known leading from the front. You know, we're talking about Hearts being top for 25 weeks. That's normally the case with Celtic. So it's a different type of challenge. In terms of the pitch, look, we all agree the pitch in last weekend wasn't, you know, it was a bad look for Scottish football. But you just need to deal with it. Conditions, you just need to adapt it. Doesn't matter if you're Dyson Maeda, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who's played in the biggest games for England and Liverpool and all that. That's the pitch you're asked to play on, and Celtic just didn't adapt.
I agree. Look, there's no doubt when they arrived there at Tannadice and they looked at that pitch, it was a negative, 100%. But you can't have any excuses. You've got a title you're challenging for, you've got to roll the sleeves up, and you've just got to play to what the pitch demands you to play to, because that's what happened to Dundee United, and Dundee United ended up winning the game. And I totally agree with David. I didn't see any way Celtic were coming back from that. Look, they've got a lot to do. They're not used to being in this position. They're usually ones that are getting chased down. They're chasing down now. I said 6 would probably give them a slight hope, and as Paul quite rightly said there, I don't think there's a lot of Celtic supporters very confident they can do either five or six the way they're playing just now.
Is the fear, Paul, that this is just a kind of a spiral that, you know, can't be reversed, and whether it is, you know, recruitment, paying for previous mistakes, yeah, all coming at the same time as a dip in form for others, at the same time as there was managerial mistakes made, does it feel like it's piling up a bit?
Yeah, I mean, without sounding like the aforementioned Mr. Keevans, it is a maelstrom coming together. You know, those recruitments, you know, really poor recruitment, not just one window, but several windows. And I did hear with noted interest a caller saying the other night about the tactics. Now, I don't know, you guys have been putting out a couple of really amazing stats this week. If anybody's familiar with Alan Morrison at Celtic by Numbers and the Huddle Breakdown, Alan is definitely one guy to go and check out. And he shared a stat recently, Gordon, you'll love this, right up your street. If you're aware of pack passing, which is that ability to break lines and get a ball through the midfield, Celtic don't really have that, but they do traditionally out-pack pass the other teams. And Alan's been collecting data, I think, since 2010, 2011. And that Motherwell performance recently at Celtic Park was the highest pack passing Celtic have had in the league since Alan collected it. Number two on that list was Hibernian, managed by one Sean Maloney, going back to 2022. So it tells me that there is something going wrong on the tactic side of Celtic, because Maloney is a guy who played out the back and passed the ball. And that team that took to the park, especially in that second half against Dundee United, decided to shell the ball against the highest and biggest team in our league, who are predominantly a long ball team. So it was never going to get results. So I think there's a little internal battle going on around Mr. O'Neill and Mr. Maloney.
Oh, good. That's something new that we've not introduced to this madness. That's just what we need. A fight between those two. Let me thank Paul and move on very quickly. I did not realise it was that time. You can hear the music. But thanks again to Paul. Always enjoy the impression. The Celtic starting 11, 4-0 defeat to Rangers on this day in 2000, the last time they went 8 league defeats in a season. Gould, Reseth, Boyd, Mahe, McNamara, Lambert, Petrov, Moravchik, Johnson, 2 to get.
Who are we looking for position?
A centre back and a centre forward. No.
Johan Mjalby?
Yes.
That was him.
A centre forward?
Yep.
Mark Viduka?
Yes. There we go.
Well done.
Thank you very much to David Friel and Gordon Diehl. But as always, the biggest thanks to you for your calls, your tweets, for keeping us company. You can obviously watch the show back on YouTube or wherever you normally get the live stream, your podcast as well on all the big podcast platforms. Make sure you're subscribing to that YouTube channel. And I promise no more Jean-Pierre Papin shouts for the rest of the season from Gordon Diehl. But we are back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Have a good one.